Welcome to Dry Heart Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life as a dry millennial.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I have been alcohol-free for 300 days.
Hi, I'm Kaylee, and I know it's been over a year, but I actually haven't checked in a while, so I'm going to live check and see how many days I've been sober from alcohol.
Oh my gosh, live check?
Live reveal. I am sober at 1 year and 25 days, so 390 days, so we're only 90 days apart. Sweet.
So anyways, we come from really different backgrounds, and our relationship with alcohol differs individually, but Kaylee and I just found out that we have so much in common with how our drinking habits made us feel, and we thought a lot of other people might feel the same, so here we are. I stopped drinking on New Year's Day. It was my resolution to just go 30 days, so this is crazy. We are 300 days into 2021.
That's insane. Yeah, it's basically Thanksgiving.
I hate it.
And it's Halloween.
It's Halloween.
So yeah, we're wrapping up Sober October. That's a thing. We've been doing it. And this episode, Katie and I are talking all about spooky things like anxiety, seasonal depression, FOMO, the real adult scaries. So.
Okay. So I don't like Halloween, right? You know, we've kind of discussed that. So.
And I'm sad for you. I'm going to try and change
okay,
that.
Okay, please. By all means, I could use the pick-me-up this weekend, so I don't like Halloween, but my birthday's 3 days after. My mom's birthday is on Halloween, and so I feel like, you know, all of that is a cocktail for not liking something. And I remember my 21st birthday. It was on November 3rd, obviously, and the clocks got set back, so we had an additional fucking hour at the bar on my birthday.
Oh,
so it must be November 4th that they fall backwards. So like we had all night at the bar, and then at 2 a.m. November 4th, the clocks go back an hour. So we got an additional hour of closing.
That's crazy.
I know. And this time of year is just, there's so many awesome activities, but we drink at all of them. So like trying to figure out how to rewrite those is huge, and I'm working on it. This has not been my most successful Halloween week, I would say.
Oh, I feel like it almost is one of those situations where COVID helps being sober because no one's really inviting me to Halloween parties anyway.
Bless up to the COVID gods. Is that fucked up?
Yeah. Or maybe I don't have a lot of people that I know that would be having a house party, and maybe I've aged out of that a little bit.
Right.
Which makes me sad in some way because Halloween house parties were my thing back when I was younger, but.
Tell me more about that. What is that?
I remember nothing being super epic about the party itself. It was more like prom where you're like hyped up to get dressed up and go out. And you never know who you're going to run into at a house party. There's something about, I don't know, the mystery of, is there going to be drugs there? I don't know. Hopefully, that'd be cool. Like, is there going to be some weird jungle juice that I can drink out of? How am I going to get beer when I was underage? Who's going to be there? What if this person's going to be there? I don't know. It was just an exciting social time, and it made me feel like, I don't know, the cool girl.
You are the cool girl.
Yeah, and it wasn't. It was like these lame basement parties with people throwing up in every corner and drinking Four Loko, so.
Totally. Totally. I feel like, for me, Halloween's loaded, and we've kind of talked about that, but I always was a good sport. That's like, if there's one thing you put on my fucking gravestone, she was a good sport. Like, I always participate in shit, even if I don't fucking want to. Halloween being one of them. It's actually people-pleasing, and it's not taking care of your mental health is what that really is. So don't recommend it. But I was a good sport about Halloween, but man, the social anxiety of me. I'm also 5'7", and like, you know, a good 160 pounds. I'm a muscular, very tall, I take up space. And I like it that way now. But at 20, with all my hot little friends, I did not feel confident or safe dressing up on Halloween. Like, it was just not something I ever walked into a room and was like, look at me dressed up looking hot. Even though if it came off to other people that way, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure, obviously, I was hot. So yeah, I drink that feeling into a deep, deep pit every Halloween weekend, for sure, 100%. That's so dark. I'm so fucking dark, dude.
No, it's true. Every time I felt any sort of type of way, whether it was excitement or anxiety or sadness or being mad, I would drink about it. Yeah, I don't want to feel these things.
Or even the happy things, like, oh, we're celebrating.
Oh,
let's,
yeah,
let's have a drink.
On Halloween, I was excited and was like, it's going to be such a fun time to rail some random drug that some guy hands me in a basement at some frat house.
So do you have good memories of Halloween, if you think, like, look back on it?
I feel like Halloween is my favorite holiday. It truly is, not because of good memories, though. Like, just because I love having a holiday where it's, I don't know, it's, A, not about family. You don't have to see your family on Halloween. Every other holiday, your birthday, your family wants to get dinner. It's Thanksgiving, your family wants to hang out with you. It's Christmas. Like, all the other holidays are just associated with, even though I really love my family, with other obligations. And Halloween is whatever you want to do.
So I'm going to cut in here.
Yeah.
Because Halloween is actually my mother's birthday.
Oh,
so for me,
it is an obligation for you. That's why you hate it. Okay, this makes sense.
But wait,
it's valid now.
The plot thickens. My mother doesn't even like people. So, like, she doesn't want to see me on her fucking birthday. She wants to be alone. Which, when my mom listens to this, because I told her you have to listen to the Halloween episode, because it's just, Halloween is, it is the essence of my mother. I mean, everything about it. And she loves the magic of it and dressing up. She's super artistic. You know, Stephen King is like what we read at the dinner table together. Like, quotes popping off, horror movies on the television. I think I watched Misery when I was like 9.
See, that's why I like it, is I always wanted to be a witch. And I was really disappointed. I know you told me that Iris, your daughter was upset because, you know, she's getting to that age where she would get, like, a Hogwarts letter, and it hasn't happened. And I remember those, like, crushing moments when I was like, oh, the girl in high school in the craft can't be me because now I'm in high school. And so I'm off. So, yeah, I love Halloween because I want to be magic. And your mom is into horror and stuff like that. So she likes it.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, she's a Scorpio. She was also, like, a hipster in the 80s in Portland. Like, my mom is young and cool and fun. I mean, she was just, like, you know, listen to Radiohead and Tool and, like, Blondie.
Cool.
She's legit. But because of that, it ruined Halloween for me, and I'm sorry, because there's no reason. But everyone would want to be my best friends with my mom, for sure. She's a real one.
And then you also had a traumatic experience on Halloween. Oh. I don't know if you feel comfortable setting the stage for Halloween, kind of then and now.
Yeah, so my Halloween horror story happened far before alcohol came in my life. Actually, not far before, about a year before.
Yeah, because we've heard your alcohol middle school band...
Yeah.
Band practice story, so.
So I was, I believe, a fifth grader, and our across the street neighbor, her parents were like loose members at the Lutheran church. Like, I'm pretty sure she received confirmation there. I think that's what it's called.
Confirmation?
Yeah. Like, when you turn like 11 or something, you like go for your confirmation. Anyway, so her parents and my parents dropped us off at the Lutheran church on Halloween when I was like a fifth grader.
Which makes sense, because it's your mom's birthday party and she's cool and she's like listening to Tool and she's She's going to take her convertible and be like, beep, beep, see you, kids. Bye.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, exactly. And my mom, I don't think I ever saw my mom drinking growing up. We never had alcohol in the house. Like, I didn't grow up around alcohol. Although my father was an alcoholic, is an alcoholic, is in recovery now. I think we've touched on that. But he did not live in the same state as I did. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, so dropped us off at the Lutheran church. I look so fucking good for Halloween this year. Let me tell you. Polyester from head to toe.
Oh, itchy.
Psychedelic.
Yes.
Psychedelic. Flowers, tie-dye, brown suede vest, you know, circular rose glasses.
Summer of 69. Yeah.
I was 60s, 70s, blonde, hippie girl, which I feel like is quintessential for all elementary and middle school girls. You have to dress up as it.
Oh, yeah, because 90s was very 60s revival. So you had the glasses and the, like, peace sign stickers and all of that.
Yeah, even though, like, this costume was simply bought out of a bag from the fucking Halloween Spirit store. But
that's where I got all my costumes as a kid. My parents didn't put love and thought into what was happening.
See, my mom did up until that age when I didn't think it was cool. I had handmade Halloween costumes every year. I'm going to post some of those pictures of me as a child. So if you're listening, we are going to share some throwbacks.
Oh, I have a really good one of my parents did when my parents were together. They bought me this really expensive Nala costume, like, beautiful Nala, but I wanted to be Simba.
Oh, you, like, queer baby.
Yeah, and I was also like big Leo energy. Like, uh-huh. I'm not gonna be some side bitch character. I want to be the main character in the movie, I love obviously. You. But yeah, I was, you know, very progressive for my age.
Yes, you were. So they drop us off at the Lutheran church. It was probably like $20 a kid. I don't fucking know. This was like 2000, like probably the year of 2000. So whatever the going rate for church childcare was at that time. There was this kid and his dad was the Lutheran pastor, preacher, priest, not religious, wasn't really raised religious. His son was so nice. And of course I had a crush on him and he actually was a really good kid. And I'm pretty sure still like a good human. However, I thought that it was cute to play tag with him, and I'm chasing him and chasing him and chasing him, like him specifically. My eyes were locked in. Like,
he was terrified. He was like,
it was fucking happening. Yeah. Tag, you're it. So
you're my boyfriend now.
He was in.
That's how this works.
Yeah. He was in front. Gotcha. He was in front of me and I'm like sprinting. I'm also athletic. So I'm running. And this fucking kid behind me fucking gives me a fat tire so bad. And my polyester flared pants come right off my ass. Oh. And I have my fifth grade girl underwear on. Everyone sees, the whole entire church. I don't know how big the Lutheran church actually is, but in my mind, it is the size of the fucking, you know, Roman cathedral.
You got pantsed.
I got pantsed.
Fuck that. That sucks.
If you're pissed I don't like Halloween, don't fucking come at me. Anyway, so Kaylee, we heard about my horror story with Halloween, which was fucking being pantsed at the Lutheran church.
Oh,
what
God.
What's your, like, your, like, the funny story that you have, or just something that sticks out to you?
I never had, they all blend together, right? But I remember being at a barn party, like, in the middle of nowhere, probably out, like, Junction City or Crow or something like that, you know, outside of city limits. And I rode with friends, but they weren't friends that were like my core friends. They were girls that one of them I'd known for a really long time. But we hadn't really caught up or hung out a lot. There was a huge gap in between.
Right. So, that's your first mistake.
Yeah. So I was with people that I was still really insecure to be around.
Yeah.
And then There was a guy there that I liked. And so I was really nervous. I really wanted to, you know, impress these new friends. And they were very much like friends who were more well-to-do, friends who were very pretty, friends who always got guys' attention, were like very beautiful, confident, fun party girls.
Right.
And that was always something growing up that was like, you need to be like that. You need to be like that. I always had this like voice in my head. So, I played as many rounds of beer pong as I could. I drank whatever people were offering me to drink, you know, not saying no to anything, just being like, yeah, I want to be the life of the party. And, things ended up kind of going well with that guy. It seemed like he might be into me. Ooh. And yeah. And I was obviously very excited about that. I was like, great. The whatever costume I'm wearing at the time, I don't remember. It's working for me. I'm going to woo this guy by making him think that I'm super cool and great. In reality, I was probably fucking wasted. And thankfully everyone else was. And it was, you know, those like early 20s where no one's looking at you, pointing the finger at you because everyone's has the same blurred vision, right?
Exactly.
So, I had to go. I had to work. I worked every Saturday, basically my entire teen and college years, which is a bummer. But I worked every Saturday and I worked open to close. So I worked from 9 to 6 and I had to be there to open the salon and get everything ready, get everything set. And Saturdays were a super busy day at a hair salon because it's when everyone else usually has the weekend off. So I had my friends, my ride, who was leaving, and I was like, I gotta go, dude. Like, I have to work tomorrow. And he was like, just, like, stay here with me. Like, stay in the barn with me. And I was like, I don't know if I want to sleep in a barn in the middle of nowhere tonight.
Yeah, I'm fucking good.
And I also have to work tomorrow. But he almost convinced me. Almost convinced me, because that weird thing in my head was like, if I don't make this decision and stay the night with this guy now, he's never going to talk to me again. It's like my one chance or else it'll be over. But I left him in the dust. I was like, I can't get fired from this job. I was always really very like responsible, or at least tried to be. I still showed up to work super hungover the next day. And I remember him probably intoxicated, looked at me and like called my name before I left, like, wait, yeah. You know, and like a scene in a romantic movie where I like turned back and like walked towards him and we had this like final conversation. He was like, you're honestly the best thing I have going for me right now. And
ooh.
I thought it was so, I was like, oh my God, I'm something to this person, right? Like,
right.
He's clearly into me. But when I told all my older coworkers who, you know, had some years behind them, and they were like, that's a red flag. Like, that someone who barely knows you and has only met you probably once or twice to, you know, whisper in your ear and tell you that you're the only good thing in their life right now is sus, dude.
Yeah, he wants to fuck also.
Yeah, and like, not wasn't mad about it at the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was just like one experience that kind of sums up Halloween's that I've been to, where I'm just, I don't have my own ride, and which was great because, and I took advantage of that. Having someone else drive me was an extra excuse to get as fucked up as I wanted.
Yes.
Because I didn't have to drive. So when I wasn't driving, I was ham, and then like throwing up out of the side of the car on the way home.
But, I you know. Was always the friend that drove and was fucking drunk. Like, I will say, if there are many things in my active drinking days that I'm not proud of, but those don't define me. And I have rewritten my loyalty and my friendships, my relationships with people. And so I, you know, not often do I look back. However, I drove intoxicated far too much for anyone's, like, I put people in danger. I put myself in danger. And that's one thing that, if looking back, that if I could change, then I would 100% change it. Because my crazy ass was like, yeah, I'll drive. No one asked me if I was sober, but I'll fucking drive, you know?
Oh, and as a I don't know, as a young woman in downtown Eugene, it wasn't necessarily the best idea for us to sleep in our cars.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So it was really, and Uber wasn't a thing.
Oh yeah.
By the way,
I forgot.
Uber wasn't a thing at all.
No,
so it's
actually,
not like you could just leave your car. You would either have to leave your car and call and get into some sketchy taxi that was going to take 45 minutes to get there, or you had to drive your ass home.
Yeah.
So it happened.
And also, that was the city of Eugene. They held out on Uber and Lyft because they had, like, some situation with the taxi company here. And the taxi would take a long time, and it was
a long time.
It was expensive, and I would never say this about all of the cab drivers, because I'm sure there are some that were great, but I had a really poor experience with one time. And yeah, it just is
sketch.
Not, yeah, just for being a college town, for having as many people as it does, especially on that like upward, like influx population time of the year where people are out drinking, super, super sketchy trying to get home. But now there's Uber and Lyft, so it's a little bit better.
God, yeah, girls used to walk through the cemetery.
Oh yeah, the campus.
On campus,
yeah.
All the time, and I would get campus alerts all the time about people being assaulted. And I'm like, well, it's really, unless if you are not, of course, go in groups, do everything you can to be safe. But if there's no taxis or you can't get one and you don't want to drink and drive, walking home was what a lot of people did, especially on campus.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I guess I'm glad Uber is an option now. Hopefully that reduces some of that, but. So,
yeah.
Katie, tell me about like how Halloween has been for you, because this is your second sober Halloween.
This is my first sober Halloween.
Right, because you started, I for some reason decided to quit drinking on October 3rd. Okay, yeah, so that makes sense. So this is sober number one.
Yeah, so I would say that I've been doing cutesy Halloween things for probably the last like 7 or 8 years since I met Steve, and we've had Iris on and off over Halloween weekend, and we also like to do things with Iris's mom and stepdad. They are awesome, shout out. So we've been doing cutesy stuff for Halloween for a while. However, there's always that friend or two in your adult life that goes fucking balls to the wall for Halloween. And my friend Amy loves Halloween. And so she always hooked it up with a costume if I wanted to go out with her and her friends. And I usually did. Like, Wetlands has fun dancing and a costume contest. And so I did that last few years, but I always get way too fucked up. Like, hungover for like 3 days, questionable decisions. I didn't do anything last year for Halloween. I must have just stayed home. Yeah, I stayed home. But the year before that, I went to Wetlands and I was Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction. And, you know, Amy had the wig and she did the blood on my face. And it was great. It was fun. And I also really love those friends that I was going out with. Like, they're all still a part of my life now that I don't drink. I mean, we don't do the same things together, and I don't see them as often, but I think that that was happening anyways, just because, you know, life fucking happens when you turn 30.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would say that, like, the Halloween season, though, we always go to the pumpkin patch, and I love doing things like that. I love hiking in the fall. This time of year, the leaves are insane.
So pretty.
The blue skies and, you know, Oregon in September, October is legit.
It's so beautiful. It's just now starting to get rainy, and it's funny. I can tell my mood is different. Like, sunny fall days,
yeah,
I'm all about, and it smells super fresh outside, and I'm still positive, but it's been raining for a couple days now, and I'm over it, and this is going to be forever until May.
Dude, I am not ready for the darkness.
No.
It's like when darkness falls, it's legit like a fucking movie. Like, it's going to be dark here. Actually, that's not what When Darkness Falls is about, but it just sounds like it would be.
It's about like zombies in Alaska or something, right? Or am I thinking of something completely different?
I think this is about like a tooth fairy woman that steals the teeth.
I'm totally thinking of like, oh, maybe that's 7 days of night or something. Like, Alaska gets 7 days where they don't get daylight at all.
I just need to take this chance to remind everyone that I don't fucking like scary movies, so I should not be the one to reference one.
Which is in theme with, you know, your mom likes it, so you don't want to like it, because what your mom likes isn't cool, obviously.
Yeah, also, like, I suffer from severe fucking anxiety. That entire feeling of horror taking over your body and having, like, fucking numbness in your limbs, like, we were just talking about that. I get, like, numb and my heart races. I'm not
here for it. Dude, okay, so I went to a haunted corn maze recently.
Oh, tell me about that.
Okay, so I thought that it was going to be this cheesy, campy, you know, it's at this corn maze in this farm that, you know, I said hi to the pigs. I got apple cider and was like, oh, I'm going to go to this corny. No, these people are, like, probably the people I know from improv in Portland, who are professional actors, and it was terrifying. Cornfield in the middle of the night, pitch black, and people coming out of the corn on either side, and then the noise of a chainsaw and someone chasing you was...
I'm good.
Terrifying. And my defense was to just tell people to thank them and let them know that they were doing a good job and that they were scaring me so that they would, like, lay off a little bit. So I'd be like, oh, thank you. Okay, scary, yeah. You, great, good job, thank you. And I was just so nervous. Apparently at one point I grabbed onto someone who wasn't in our friend group, like just a stranger.
Oh, Kaylee.
I was actually so scared and trying to, like, play off in front of my new friends that I was like, oh, I'll go first, no worries. And I was fucking terrified. So
nope.
Yeah, it was kind of fun though. Like, I would do it again, maybe. I don't know. It was something new that I tried though, where I was like, well, yeah, I don't have anything else to do. Sure, I'll go to a haunted corn maze. This is like new me, aww, new, like, trying new things. And it was so fucking, yeah, scary.
Dude, I love that.
But
there
was kids that were like 7 who were going. So I was like, I just kept telling myself, like, if they're okay and they got out alive, I'm going to get out alive. Like, that they let a 7-year-old live. So
it's just strange to me that, like, even though I know it's not real, I have a hard time separating that for myself. Yeah. And it's funny because when Iris was little, I used to be like, come on, you're going to love it. And then when I did it, I was like, I don't fucking love this either. She's not going to love it. This is terrifying. Like, I don't like this. But you know what? I can listen to podcasts about serial killers and true crime and read about it. Like, I absolutely love anything written by John Grisham. I'm a mystery buff too. So to each their own. Like, I like horror, but in a different narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you were over, we were watching Criminal Minds. And it's so weird because I like that stuff. And I'd watch, like, that and, yeah, documentaries on Ted Bundy and then be able to,
oh yeah,
just sleep totally fine. But certain things will get me, but not paranormal. I prefer, rather than thinking, like, seeing stuff of real murderers and things that are very, like, have happened in real life.
Uh-huh.
I would rather watch, like, the ghosts and the witches stuff, because then I can be like, oh, cool. Or, like, demons. Like, I'm not afraid of demons at all. But a lot of people I know,
what,
who are religious and who grew up in a religious setting are very afraid of, like, The Witch, the A24 movie. I loved it. I was like, yeah, I want to be one of those witches, man. Like, that seems cool. And they're like, that's so terrifying. Or, like, any like, possession, like The Haunting of Emily Rose or things like that. They don't scare me at all. I think they're interesting, but I'm not afraid of demonic possession, I guess.
I, like, struggle a little bit. Okay, first of all, that is a horror movie to me. Like, anything with demonic possession, anything with, like, the devil, any kind of haunting. And I think it's because I've always identified as atheist my entire life, but I think mostly because the other shit freaks me out.
But, and you went to Catholic school, right? Like, you went to, you, because you passed out in mass once.
Yeah, well, I was only sent there because I wrote on a note Nathan Wiener instead of Nathan Werner. My mom, like, ripped me out of the public school and sent me to the private school.
I got in trouble when I was 10 because I made an inappropriate rhyme in people's yearbooks. Yeah, I thought that shit was,
yeah,
Wiener. I loved that shit.
I know. Well, no, like, I was being inappropriate for sure, probably. Like, I was, you know, all but having sex in seventh grade. So that's why I was at a Catholic school.
Catholic school puts that fear. It puts the fear of God into you. The fear of demons.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe it was Father John. He was like 95 and fucking... He honestly...
Oh, so he looked like a demon.
Honestly, Kaylee, I think he was like 6'10".
Damn, demon. Yeah. Skinwalker.
Yeah. He was a white walker, actually. Like, he was so fucking pale. Yeah, so anyways, because I still don't know how I feel about, like, what exists beyond this plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, I believe in ghosts, I think, because I want to, but I choose not to believe in demons. Like, my philosophy on what scares me and what I believe in makes no fucking sense. And I recognize that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I just, I like ghosts, so I want them to be real.
I believe or don't believe in whatever I need to protect my mental health at that given time.
And that's, yeah, yeah. That's the thing. As long as it doesn't hurt anyone, who fucking cares? I was just seeing something on TikTok about this guy who married his invisible friend. And I'm like, that's great.
Oh, so cute.
Good for you. Who cares? You're not hurting anyone.
I don't know why people have such an issue with that. Like, I'm married, but the sanctity of marriage is shit. Like, it means fucking nothing. Not to offend anyone out there that, like, really loves their marriage.
You're destroying the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah, by marrying your fucking imaginary friend, there's no such thing. Like, there's no such thing as ruining a marriage.
You do that from the inside.
Oh my god. Okay.
I'm an asshole. I'm insensitive.
Okay, let's digress. So, yeah. Anyway, so we did something super cute for Kaylee's 1 year sobriety birthday.
Oh, that was the best day. Yeah, so Katie came up. Tell us from your perspective.
Okay, so I came up. I drove up to Portland from Eugene, which is like a 2-hour drive. And I stopped by this terrifying liquor store. But then when I got inside, it was so nice and fancy. But like the outside was like all boarded up and graffitied on. And I was like, where the fuck am I? You know, I'm just from little old Eugene down the road.
I love that liquor store. Shout out to Hollywood Beverage because they used to have CBD sodas on tap. I could get growlers full of them. Like, they have a ton of CBD and booze-free options. So, yeah.
They have so many non-alcoholic options, and the people working there were, like, interested for me and stoked that we were celebrating someone's sobriety birthday. Like, they wanted to help. So, they helped me pick out some wine that was non-alcoholic that wound up being super shitty. But that's okay.
Cutest bottle, though.
So
cutest
cute.
Bottle.
What was the brand? Do you remember what it was called?
I don't. I should have saved the bottle, though, to put, like, little dried flowers in it. Because
I know. Yeah, it's cute. Honestly, I'm kind of just now with the non-alcoholic industry getting more into it because, like, I have not really had the craving. I love Athletic Brewing's IPA, obviously. Like, I was a beer drinker anyways, so...
I wasn't, but I would rather drink a non-alcoholic beer than a non-alcoholic wine or non-alcoholic cocktail mixes that I've bought because those just taste like juice, but non-alcoholic beer tastes like beer, right? Like, yeah. It still has the hops. So anyway.
For sure. So anyways, I stopped at Hollywood. They were fucking rad. Showed up to Kaylee's cute house in Portland. So cute. I got barked at by her fucking dog, little Bagel Bags.
Yeah, she's scratching at me right now. Like, she needs my constant love and attention.
So then our really darling friend, Mackenzie, came over and we went on a walk and we walked around and we went out to the most delicious dinner. Where did we go?
Oh, we went to Hey Love first, but then Katie forgot her ID because she hasn't needed to use it. And I haven't been to like a bar. I only drink at restaurants. So to go somewhere to have dinner and have them check your ID at the door, I was like totally put back to being 21 and being like in front of a bar. It was so weird.
Also, I'm going to add that I was triggered as fuck because I thought losing my ID was something of the past now that I'm sober, and it's absolutely not. I still can't find my driver's license.
I have to have it all the time because I vape, and you have to be, like, 21 to do that now, which it used to be 18.
Oh, I forgot that they were changing that.
Yeah. So I have to show my ID all the time because I'm terribly addicted.
Do you have to be 21 to smoke cigarettes now?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So anyways, we wanted to go to Haylub, and we will hit that up when I can remember my driver's license and be an adult.
But we went to Tusk.
Tusk was so fucking good. It was worth the 30-minute wait. They had us in. They were so kind at the door.
And only 30 minutes for Portland is really good.
Yeah.
Because it was a weekend, wasn't it?
It was. It was a Saturday night. And so we got seated at Tusk. They had a non-alcoholic beverage on the menu. So we had something delicious. I don't remember what it was. Do you?
No, I have no idea.
But we wound up getting the mezze plate, which was like hummus, baba ganoush. There was like pita bread.
Oh, cheese. We got some baked cheese thing that was amazing.
Fuck yeah, we did. Oh, and they had these amazing like roasted carrots and dates.
Dates? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Roasted carrots and dates that were so good. There was this dill pickled salad that was potato salad that was so bomb. I just thought that everything was delicious there. So shout out to them. I'm pretty sure they're really popular. We're not discovering anything new, but.
Yeah, but it was really cool to get dressed up and go out for the night because that's not something I've done.
Yeah, 100% that. I totally agree with you.
So, yeah, it was cool to just go out to eat. And Danny and I don't really do fancy because the lines are so long and the wait and the weekend and it's a whole thing. And we usually make food at home and just that's not where we spend our money. I spend it at like Sephora and vape pods and stupid shit. But I don't. But it reminded me like, oh, this is a really nice experience.
Yeah.
And this was like a successful sober thing in my toolkit that I can go out to dinner with people and have a really good time.
Definitely. And it was so amazing splitting the bill because we didn't have cocktails, Kaylee. Our bill was like
none.
We spent like $60 each on like a nice ass, huge, massive dinner with mocktails.
Yeah, those are really good. So probably enough food for four people.
Yeah,
and
we ate it all.
And two mocktails for not a lot of money at all. It was great.
It was fantastic. And we had a great conversation. Like, it was nice to sit in the candlelight outside. Like, they have this screened in, like, outdoor area. It was just so sweet. And I don't often get to go out with friends. Just in Eugene, it's just not something I always make time to do. I have the podcast. I work full time. I'm a social media manager. Like, I just do so much that that's just not a priority of mine right now. So it was nice to be reminded of how therapeutic that time together can be.
Yeah. And then Katie spent the night and we just put some TV bullshit on in the background and scrolled on our phones and cuddled on the couch together. And that was my favorite part.
Yes, it was so good. It was so good. And then we got to wake up. We woke up at like 7:30 the next morning, just like hangover free as fuck.
Yeah. It was so, we had the best morning. We went and got breakfast bagels and coffee and then picked up Jacqueline and went to the farm thing.
Yeah. So there's this adorable farm called Topaz Farms over on Sabi's Island.
Yeah. Topaz Farms.
Topaz Farms. And we got to you cut wildflowers for Kaylee's sobriety birthday celebration. So we got to cut all of these flowers. Kaylee is a like floral arrangement goddess. She has learned so much from the Ashley Brazil.
And I know. I was just going to say,
we have a friend that is just beyond artistic in all ways. And she's a flower arranging queen. And then, so yeah, Kaylee is good at that too now. And Jacqueline and I were not, but that's okay. It wasn't about that. It was about the fresh produce that we got to buy in the little store. And I bought pompous grass for decor.
Oh, yeah, that
was
cool.
We got to go talk to the goats.
Yeah. That was so cute.
It was so cute. It was
I
so
love
cute.
Farm animals.
I know. And like, it was just so nice doing things and not barfing or feeling like shit the next day.
Yeah, I had my whole day, you know, I didn't do that like when I used to go out to brunch and then nap and sleep for the rest of the day.
Right.
Like, I had a full day and then you were like, cool, I'm gonna drive home and it's great.
I used to call Sundays like $100 days because they were the days I would wake up, feel like shit, order like delivered food, spend way too much money, lay in bed all day, usually beat myself up, online shop for something I didn't need to make myself feel better, and like just be a miserable B word. And instead, we just did whatever we wanted. And then I drove back to Eugene, and I don't remember what I did that night, but I think I also was active when I got home, and it just felt so good.
It's been a good sober fall.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'm grumpy today, but
dude, same. Yeah, what's been the hardest part of the season for you?
Honestly, the weather sucks. And the darkness, and just this season at work, I think especially, is super busy. So I just am feeling really burnt out. I'm not really taking a lot of time for myself. And I'm also just staying up late because I feel like it's my only time that's mine that I get to relax. But then it makes it so I don't wake up early and do my workout that I know makes me feel super good, right, and have time to myself in the mornings to do my makeup. I've gotten out of the routine things that I like to do, and I'm just living in survival mode, it feels like. And it feels like it won't be over until at least maybe next week. I don't know. I'm trying to find the small slices of things that make me happy, but I'm definitely in like, I'm gonna eat all the sugar and just watch trash TV and then go to bed. So
I feel bad interrupting you, but I want to tell you that as much as I enjoy recording this podcast, like all I can think about right now is laying in my bed and watching Yellowstone until like midnight.
Yeah. Katie and I definitely have check-ins where we're like, hey, how's it going? You're like, how's it going? And it's like, do you want to cancel? No, we shouldn't. We should do it. Like, so.
How are you doing? Not fucking good, man.
Yeah, it is. I've had some really, really bright spots. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
the 1 year sober anniversary when you came to visit, and going to the corn maze with my friends, and having people over for a movie night, and watching Dune the other day. So I have to kind of add it up in my head and be like, your life is pretty cool. You're just overworked and you're not doing the things that you do to take care of yourself and make yourself feel good. And I just need to start setting some more healthy boundaries and also, oh yeah, not be such a tryhard, right? I mean, the whole theme.
Yeah.
So,
and that goes for me too. Like, I'm having a bad day, but I've been going through some like emotional turmoil. I'm just making a transition in my day-to-day work life. And I said yes to too many things this week. I feel like,
yeah, you did a lot.
Yeah. And you know me, like, especially now that I know myself a little bit more, I know that when I say no and I protect my energy, not that I don't want to do all of these things that I've been doing that are so much fun and so fulfilling and I love, but I don't have the energy for me at the end of the day. And in my sobriety, I've found that that nighttime routine, that time to myself where I get to wash my face, take a bath, meditate, read a book, scroll on Facebook. No, fuck Facebook. Sorry. Scroll on Instagram or just like watch my TV show or just like do nothing.
Just do you. Decompress in a way that doesn't involve alcohol.
Right. And that's just like, those are my non-negotiables. And I negotiated them this week because there was just so much going on. I did get to go to a really cool networking group, so that was worth it. And I talked all about Dry Hard Pod, and I'm hoping that some of them get to tune into this episode because that was worth it. But had I done all of this week and been drinking, Kaylee, I would be miserable.
Yeah.
I would probably go into one of those low lows that you stay in the low for a while, like much longer than feels comfortable. Like last year, my low was like 6 months probably. And like now there, it's like 2 days.
Yes, that is a really good point, Katie, because it is hard when you have to feel all the feelings and you can't block them out. And I've, you know, been pretty candid about the fact that I think I'm smoking weed probably a little bit too much right now and leaning on that a little bit too much, but it is so much easier without constantly either being on or recovering from a depressant like alcohol and someone, you know, whether or not you're predisposed to low levels of serotonin, whatever, whatnot, it's like a day. when I am depressed now, I'm depressed for like a day or maybe 2 days, and I'm able to at least have to talk myself through it and be like, this sucks right now, but I know that this isn't forever and that things are going to be better. Like, I just, it's shorter and not as bad as it used to be. 100%.
For sure. And like, I feel like my whole, like my nervous system and my blood alcohol content and my hydration levels aren't having to do a full reset, like on a physical level, before I can get my mental head right. Like, yeah, maybe you ate Taco Bell. You're not super proud of it, even though it's fucking bomb.
Token.
Maybe, you know, I did not meal prep this week. I underfeed myself when I'm stressed out. I don't eat enough. And then I am starving and I go insane at night, which I'm also taking responsibility for. I have the mental space to do that. And so, you know, this weekend, I have no plans. Actually, I did just take the photography session. Like, I'm going to take photos of an exercise class tomorrow morning or on Saturday morning, which I'm really excited about. But other than that, no plans. And I am going to reset so that Monday, I do not feel like I'm running on fumes. Like, I know that I can do that. I can consciously make the choice to change my preparedness for next week.
Yes, I'm at the point right now where I feel like I am so tired that I could sleep all weekend and have like a lazy weekend, but I know that's not what I need. I know I do need a day to at least to recoup, but then I need, even though it's like cold and rainy and shitty, to kind of just get some stuff together and feel more like mentally organized, physically starting to get moving again and just doing more of that. So,
right. Well, it's funny too. I don't think we talked about this, but so I'm running on fumes this week and I'm just absolutely slammed. However, I paid $15 to participate in Hell Week at my local Orange Theory, which means I have to complete 5 out of 7 group fitness classes in the 7 days. To get my fucking t-shirt that I actually paid for out of my pocket anyways. So it makes no sense, but I'm doing it. I worked out for day 3. I also was sick this week. I got a strep throat diagnosis. So I'm just like, I'm getting insane. That fucking t-shirt. So I've been doing back-to-backs these last 3 days. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I'll get my last workouts in and I'll get my t-shirt. And I didn't get anyone sick because I was on antibiotics.
I love being able to talk to you, Katie, because it definitely puts some things in perspective for me where it's like, I'm so stressed out. I have so much shit going on. I'm just working a lot. And you're like, yeah, I'm stressed out too. I own 3 businesses and I work out 7 days a week and I'm a co-parent. And I'm just like, oh my God, how?
Mental illness yeah. is how. So, no. And
mine makes me so tired.
Yeah. Mine does the opposite. It's like perform, 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 you know, all the time. And I'm not going to lie. I would love to talk about the Enneagram. We need to have an episode on the Enneagram. We need to write that down. Mm-hmm. I'm an Enneagram 7. So I'm the adventurer. And so, and I want to try everything and do all of the things. And I have a fear that it comes across as being shallow. Because I have my hands in a lot of different things at every, you know, any given moment, but I truly feel so fulfilled in that. And this is what happens sometimes with that is that I'm spread thin, but you know, next week I said no to a couple of things. It's my birthday next week. I'm getting my fucking hair done. I have an eyebrow appointment. I am going to eat everything in sight. I'm going to take a break from the gym, have a little reset, do some stretching. Steve bought me that. Theragun that you have.
Yay! Oh, that shit's wild. I love it.
For my birthday. Yeah, so I'm just gonna take like an R&R next week. What does R&R stand for?
Rest and relaxation.
Oh, perfect.
Like, this Halloween has honestly been dope. Like, this fall season, I've done so many fall things and just kind of leading into being... I'm just not being embarrassed for being like, yeah, I want to go to the farm and I want to look at the animals and get a pumpkin spice latte on the way there. Just what I want to do and not, I feel like I always get a little insecure sometimes because I like things that are girly or that could be associated with that. And
I have to interrupt.
No, go for it.
It's because society loves to fucking hate what girls like. Period.
Oh, and it's such a double standard, right? It's like, if you aren't girly at all and don't have any feminine qualities, then you're just like some
fucking butch, right?
Yeah, some fucking butch. You must be a lesbian, which is like, first of all,
yes.
Yeah. And like the shame behind that shit and all of that, like, you know, like 90s, 2000s, like gay, you know, like stupid fucking shit.
Yeah. And then like, if you fucking even say the word pumpkin spice latte, like you're a dumb bitch for being a basic fucking bitch.
Yeah. And it was, I remember having people be like, asking me like, okay, what are you? Like you were goth and now you're, you know. Now you're a hippie or like, you know, what's your deal? And it's like, well, you guys want me to be this like smart, intelligent librarian, but also this like Lara Croft Tomb Raider fighter badass, but also this like blonde push-up bra wearing. So I don't know. And like, I feel like I'm all of those things and I want to be all of those things. And but sometimes those would compete with each other. And I'm trying to let go of that. But like, I like watching The Bachelor and I like getting a pumpkin cold foam thing. And I really like farm animals. I love animals. Like, I want to go to the farm and go pet. I want to go look at the pigs and I want to go get a little pumpkin and have my little coffee and be like, oh, that was a nice day. Like, I'm not fucking hurting anyone. I don't have someone like tied up in my basement. You know, leave me alone.
I know.
Leave me alone. I just want to have like some childlike wonder left. And, yeah, so I've been embracing a lot of that stuff, and I've been finding people who want to go do that stuff with me. So, and I've been watching really good movies and having people over for, you know, just like a pizza movie night. And it feels very much like, I don't know, if I wasn't so up my own ass in like high school, or I don't know, I feel like being sober, I've been reverting back to before I really started drinking, which is when I was in, like, what would I want to do if all I had was my car and a little bit of money and wasn't just like drowning myself in alcohol every night. So I've been kind of
totally
reevaluating what I actually think is cool. And then once I used to think I didn't know, but I do know, I'm just embarrassed about it. So trying to get over that shit too.
I know. So this year, what are you doing to prep for the way that you felt around Halloween, like the needs that you had to get fucked up?
Well, we talked about it recently, which I still think is a good idea and I haven't been doing, and I've already been seeing some of it, is staying off social media.
Yes.
Because I've been seeing some cute Halloween costumes and I love it and I'm here for it, but I especially feeling stressed is definitely something that makes me want to do bad decisions and just be like, fuck it. I'm so sick of being perfect all the time and working, you know, 50 hours a week and being on top of my shit. I just want to get fucked up. And so I'm a little itchy right now.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not having the easiest time. And so I think staying off social media, doing more of those fun things that we talked about, but you know.
Yeah, I hear that. I think that I'm going to stay off social media on Sunday, maybe even half of the day on Saturday. I do get a little bit of FOMO just seeing all the socializing, and I really, really, really need to take this weekend to like get some of my stuff in order. And so I think I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to be really intentional. So if any of you see us posting or sharing shit on Halloween besides this episode, call our asses out. If you follow my personal page, tell me to get the fuck off of it. But yeah, so I'm gonna do that too. I think Steve and I are gonna cook like some good meals over the weekend and kind of just have like a cozy movie night. We'll probably watch Dune again because he's obsessed with it, and I know that we have been loving Why the Last Man on Hulu. So we might probably watch a couple episodes of that and get caught up.
That sounds amazing. It's, yeah, it's definitely soup weather and just staying in and being cozy on the couch. Like, I recently bought some Duraflame logs for my fireplace and I've been lighting candles and, yeah, just trying to date myself.
Yeah. Well, and I was trying to think of what I would be doing, too, if I, A, didn't have a partner that didn't drink, and B, didn't have a kid that I, a kid, that if, like, you know, we're going trick-or-treating on Halloween night with Iris.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have that, I mean, my advice for anyone that's listening that's wondering, okay, Katie, well, cool, you have a super supportive situation, but what the fuck do I do? I would do what you want to do. I would make plans with people who are sober conscious, or at least are supportive of your journey of cutting back on alcohol, or just not wanting to get fucked up, right?
Yeah, and also, I do feel like there is, at least I feel, pressure to still hang, to still be able to hang, you know, to make no one feel uncomfortable about drinking around me and showing up to those things and being like, oh my God, I'm so, you know, I got this.
You don't, like, have to get that. You don't have to.
Yeah. And the thing is sometimes it's okay if you're invited to like a rager Halloween party and everyone's playing beer pong and you're looking around like, man, this is really making me feel like I want to drink. That seems totally normal to me, and just bail. Just get the fuck out, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, and then something else too, because I'm guilty of this, or I was guilty of this before sobriety, is just saying yes to those random pop-up invites to things you would normally never do. Like, I would not normally ever hang out at Wetlands, but I've been going there for the last like 3 years before I decided to stop drinking. And that was not in character for me. And I never made good decisions when I was there. So yeah, I would not fucking do that. Don't say yes if someone asks you. They're never doing it to hurt you. They're doing it because they fucking love you and they want to have fun. But if it doesn't feel good, then don't.
And also, it's Halloween. They're going to have the night that they're going to have, you know, regardless of whether or not you're there.
Yes.
You'll still be their friend and you can hear all of their stories and talk about it over brunch while, you know, they're nursing a hangover and you're just having some waffles.
Yes. So. Oh, and then last thing, I am forcing my family on a Sunday morning hike.
Nice.
And I think that that's like committing to exercise, committing to an early morning activity always helps me keep my drinking under control. It doesn't work for everyone, but if it's something that you're really looking forward to, is like waking up feeling good and ready to do whatever it was that you want to do that morning, I think that that's good motivation.
I don't want to get on a tangent, but that just reminded me of a time that I took Molly for the first time and I had a hike with my grandparents the next morning at 9 a.m. And someone was looking out for me because we drove there and got there. I was in the car with my dad, my grandma, my grandpa, and the trail was closed.
No.
And we couldn't hike, and they talked a little bit about finding another hike and then just decided to drive home, which is unlike my grandparents. They're very outdoorsy. They would like love to just find another hike and, you know, go for 10 miles.
Okay, I have questions.
Oh my God.
When did you do Molly for the first time?
At a bar when I was drunk.
Was I with you?
No, no one was with me. That's the fucking scary part.
What?
I showed up with a coworker at the time, who was a coworker who was kind of known for showing up to work in the same clothes the next day, like leaving her car parked overnight. And she wanted me to meet her at the district. And so I showed up after work because I didn't have any other plans. And she was introducing me to her friends who, no tea, no shade, do whatever you want, but who were swingers and were seeming like very interested in me.
Yes.
And then this guy showed up and handed her this like crystal looking like rock thing. I still don't even know if it was Molly. I talked to some people and they were like, you might have done crystal meth. And I was like, oh no. Okay. But it might have also been and was just really strong. I also probably hadn't really eaten, you know, before. I had a really bad habit of like not really fueling my body before going out for things. So, handed me it and I was like, oh, cool. Thanks. Like, I love free drugs. And I just like put it in my purse and she was like, no, you need to take it now. and why weird. And I did. And I did. And then, thank fucking God, I don't even know where she was by the end of the night, but one of my other coworkers who was there, like, took me under her wing. Her and this guy friend took me out to the parking lot, and I was rolling so hard, I threw up. He held my purse, and just some older random guy I didn't know. And then I called Ashley and Robin to come pick me up.
I love you.
And I was the version of myself that I hate, that I feel embarrassed about, that, you know, Valley girl, you know,
inexperienced, like, drug user,
and like, just like a, you know, blonde, juicy couture bag, like XOXO gossip girl. I
love those things about you.
Thank you. But I was that times 100. I guess I got in the car and I was like, I love you guys. Do you have any gum?
As you're eating your own face off.
Yeah, like, shut the fuck up. And I was like, thanks for picking me up. I was like, yelling.
Yes, dude.
So yeah, anyway, knowing that you're going on a hike at 9 a.m. was the reason why I wanted to just put the drugs in my purse, but this crazy bitch forced me to take it anyway.
So. I love you. I love you. So we're just doing whatever the fuck feels good this Halloween.
Yeah, don't let people peer pressure you into coming to parties or doing drugs if you don't want to, or going to something that's going to be alcohol heavy when you don't feel like doing it. Do whatever the fuck feels good to you, even if you're worried about being basic or being boring, or that people are going to make fun of you for drinking a pumpkin spice latte and talking to the farm animals. Like, just do it. Just do what you want. Honestly, Halloween can be whatever you want it to be, and you can make your own new traditions.
Yes. And, like, you can listen to our episode on Halloween every year for the rest of your life.
Yeah, we'll be doing this forever now. Hope you like it.
If you don't, that's annoying.
That's annoying. We hate it.
So we always wrap up the episode. We always wrap up the episode. Kaylee, this is our fourth episode. And yes, we are releasing it 3 days later than it was supposed to, because I can't figure out how to record my audio properly.
And this week has just sucked ass, to be honest.
And I need to put a post on our social about that, so all of our fans aren't wondering where the episode is.
Aww, I hope we have fans.
We do. So I just want to wrap up by, you know, giving a little Reframe plug, because I fucking love Reframe. This last week, they focused on harm reduction and gray area drinking, specifically in regards to how alcohol affects the vulnerability of your brain. I'm going to keep it short for you. If you are predisposed to mental health disorders, alcohol exacerbates the effects of those conditions, anxiety and depression. And we talk a lot about anxiety and depression. We're like, we go together like anxiety and depression.
That's fucked up, but also really cute.
I know. I love you. Anyways, experts at the American Addiction Center say that feelings of anxiety stemming from alcohol consumption can last for several hours up to an entire day. Anxiety is fucking real, fam.
Yeah, it's rough out there.
Reframe app is dope. Follow them on Instagram. We'll put the handle in the show notes. If you want to download their app, if you're interested in a toolkit, in a forum, in sobriety coaching, any of those things, use my code KATY.
Yeah. And there's a free trial too, I think. If you don't want to commit to another monthly subscription right now, that's totally fair. But at least check out the free trial, because it costs you nothing, and it can't hurt to have another resource, even if it's just for the free trial period. So.
Yeah. And I mean, even besides that, like, there are so many subscriptions that I have that I 100% should get rid of because they're not good for my mental health. So I feel like picking up something that is a good swap.
Yeah, for real. And there's also people, there's a lot of people that we follow on Instagram that we try and repost on at Dry Heart Pod. But I have a quote from one, that's your diag nonsense. So like your diagnosis, but diag nonsense. And I thought it really pertained to this episode. So it's, let's stop acting as if being socially active has more value than solitude. For many people, their time alone is what they need in order to recharge and feel relaxed. To anyone out there who likes to stay in and do cozy things, you are 1000% normal and okay. You don't lack value. You're not lame. You're not boring, which I really liked because I get that itch to go out and go ham, but I actually don't ever enjoy it when I do. And I love laying in bed and watching TV and drinking tea and yeah, just feeling okay with who you are and what feels good to you. It's important.
For sure. I wish I would have known that about myself back in the day. So anyways, that's our episode. We hope you liked it. If you liked our episode today or any other day, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want to write a little message to us, that's always cute. We do want to start shouting out all of our reviewers. So shout out to Kasia. She's one of my friends. She's super sweet and I really appreciate her support. And then I just logged on, Kaylee, and saw another review from this amazing woman named Selena, who Steve went to high school with, my husband. I don't know her very well in real life, but she has been following along. And I thought that was really kind of her to take a minute to say that she likes us.
That's so sweet. I always really love and appreciate all the people who have commented or given us any sort of positive feedback. This has definitely been a tool in my sober toolkit just to have something that I'm working on and that is something that I can focus on that's positive and fills my time. So we really appreciate it. All my coworkers that I've kind of, you know, mentioned it to or other people that I've been trying, just here's the episode, please listen, that I've been hustling. So thank you so much. And if you have any ideas of things that you, topics that you want us to cover or things that you heard that you want us to dive more into, please let us know and like us and subscribe and comment on @dryhardpod and we'll queue it up for a future episode.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.